By the time you see an actor in a movie or a major stage production, she has probably been toiling for years just to get to that performance. Acting may be rewarding and fun work, but there's a lot of work in getting acting jobs because it goes beyond a job interview. There's the audition process and all the other people auditioning for the same role. A little advice can be helpful. Our first guest this hour provided that advice for years. Jackie Apodaca is a theater professor at Southern Oregon University. She and Michael Kostroff together wrote a column called The Working Actor for the theater publication Backstage. They've distilled what they wrote into a book called The Working Actor. Two Backstage columnists share 10 years of advice. Jackie will be actually signing books at the SOU campus bookstore this afternoon, actually right at noon. And she's here in the studio right now to talk about it. Welcome.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. Thanks for being here. So for the people who don't know of Backstage, what is it?
Oh, my goodness. So Backstage is an actor's trade paper, and for many years, that was the number one actor's publication. And it was so because that was where actors went to get audition notices. Many audition notices only go out through agents and managers, but the ones that were open to all actors, the ones that were open to the public, went out through Backstage. And so it came out on Thursdays, and actors in L.A. and New York and other cities around the country would go. Usually Wednesday night, they would actually start putting it in the store, and you would see people waiting to pick it up. We would go home, highlight the ones we were going to submit to, and then you send your resume and headshot by mail into the casting office to try to get an audition. And so it also had news pieces that were specifically written for actors, and unlike Variety or Hollywood Reporter and other industry trade papers, this one was specifically for the actor.
It sounds like it's a process you're well acquainted with.
Yes, exactly. Well, now most notices go out online. Mm-hmm. You know, there's many different casting sites that you can go to, but which is better. You can look things up more quickly. The information can get turned around more quickly, but I do think that the days of waiting in line for the paper were also sort of sweet.
So are these the cattle calls we've heard so much about that were posted in there?
Sometimes cattle calls, sometimes specific things that you'd submit for, and then you would get an actual appointment for. Cattle calls generally are things where it's just, here's the time and the place, show up and stand in line.
Okay, yeah. All right. Has there always been a advice column in Backstage, or was this something that you created?
No. I actually, when I finished graduate school, I moved to New York and L.A. After that. And in L.A., I would buy Backstage to get the job notices, but I would read this column on the back page called Tom Budsman. It was written by Tom Mills, so he was the ombudsman named Tom,
Tom
for actors. And I read it for years, and I just felt like he was so influential to me, and I felt so excited that there was someone that we could reach out to. And I did write to him a couple times. Is this a scam? What do you think of this? And he was so present. So then years later, I started writing for Backstage. And when he retired, he had meant so much to me that I had a strong interest. And so I sort of put myself forward for that position.
And did you attempt to do the same sort of thing he did, or did you try to occupy a bit of a different space there?
No, I did. I did attempt to do what he did because he had been so good at it. My goal actually was just to be as good as him. But I made a pledge to myself when I first took over that column, which was that I would never answer a question. This was like I was like the Dear Abby for actors,
sure.
Right? For business advice. And I decided I would never answer a question just with things that I knew or things that I thought. I would always find sources. I would always learn something myself and make sure that I was providing information that was not easy to get. And I found that as an actor, you're sort of the lowest of the low, sort of in the film industry or in the theater industry. You are chosen later. You are there's so many people. You know, supply and demand is out of whack. There's so many people competing for the job that you want, but. So you can't call agents and managers and ask them questions. You can't call casting directors and say, hey, what do you think about this? But as a journalist, they will take your call. And I was shocked by that. Oh, I can just call and ask, and they'll talk to me.
So if you had called as an actor and said, this is Jackie Apodaca calling, you never would have gotten a return.
No, this is Jackie
Apodaca from Backstage from the column calling.
Suddenly.
Isn't that interesting?
And I would be able to talk to the PR reps from the unions and from different companies. So I had a great way of finding things out. So I decided I have to use that. I can't just answer people's questions. It's irresponsible for me to answer people's questions just from what I think, from my own experience.
That's impressive then. You decided not to go, I know this one. I'll just answer this.
I really made that pledge to myself.
So that must have been a real journey of discovery, and not just about the way that you get treated, but about the things that you could find out. I mean, the things that you didn't know yourself.
Oh, my goodness. And, you know, I got a BFA in acting in undergrad, and I got an MFA after that, which is that's the end of the education line for you as an actor. And so I was an incredibly highly educated actor, and I knew nothing about the industry. I knew nothing about how to actually get a job beyond just here's how you behave in an audition. And so once I started reading Tom Budsman's column and then writing the column myself and doing all that investigating, I discovered that myself and most actors are not prepared in any way for the actual industry they have to enter, the actual job market that they have to compete in. And so through the years of writing this column, which I wrote it for about 10 years, and writing other articles for Backstage and reviewing books, reviewing shows, I discovered, well, here's the world that we're actually competing in, and here's the information that actually needs to be out there. In most, certainly in high school, but in most college or master's programs, maybe they have one class about auditions, maybe, if they're lucky. And here at SOU, because of learning all this stuff, I teach 2 business of acting classes, you know, in the course of the year, because I feel like without this, you enter blindly, you know, and then your chances of succeeding, it takes you 4 or 5 years to even get the lay of the land. And then, you know, maybe you're sick of it by then.
And I noticed your co-author, Michael Kostroff, who spent 5 seasons on The Wire and acts on a regular basis, actually also teaches a course called Audition Psych 101.
He does.
I'd love to hear about that. Let me remind the audience who we're talking to. Jackie Apodaca is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, professor in the theater department at Southern Oregon University and the co-author with Michael Kostroff of a book, The Working Actor, 2 Backstage Columnists Share 10 Years of Advice. And they did, in fact, have a column in the publication Backstage for 10 years called The Working Actor. Jackie will be signing books at the SOU campus bookstore today at noon. You can join us now on the Jefferson Exchange. Questions, comments, welcome at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Before we get to the psych part, I want to ask about the business part, though, because this is, from what the sound of it, I mean, you can develop your ability to research a character and put the best emotions on stage and really represent what you're doing on stage really well. And it sounds like next to nothing about the business part of it.
No, next to nothing. And sadly, a lot of things that are taught are by people who have not been in the industry for a long time. And so they're teaching a lot of the time the students, whether they're grad students or undergrad students, are learning things that are actually outdated.
So I mean, and this is not math or science. I mean, you could have 2 actors take exactly the same approaches to what they do and get very, very different
results.
So that must be a tough thing to teach, too.
That's something that my students here will tease me that the class actually should be called Philosophy of Business of Acting, because there's so much conversation we have about, let's look at it from this angle, let's look at it from that angle. Every fact there are many things that are facts that I can teach as solid things that you should know. But a lot of it is taking an approach to a career that has a very circuitous pathway.
Yeah, so you can't really enter into the acting profession thinking of, you know, here's where I'd like to live someday and that sort of thing, can you?
Well, actually, so my theory on that, and this is my theory, I tell my students, and I think I say it in the book, that everything that I say is also a lie, because anyone who tells you here's what things are, here's how it works, you should decide that they're lying to you. You should assume that they're lying to you, because there is no path. There's many, many different small, dark, shadowy pathways that you have to sort of find your way through in the maze. And that conversation can be interesting. You can learn a lot about what to look for inside of the maze. But if you come in with, this is the way you do it, then it's a lie. But my theory about where to live is that, and Michael and I agree on this, and he lives in New York, and I lived for many years in LA, is that you have to live somewhere that you want to live. And if you're not doing that, all this, because most of your life as an actor is trying to get a job. Most of your life is actually hitting your head against a wall. And if you're doing that in a place you hate, it's going to be a lot harder.
So talk about that aspect of it, because you know, usually when we talk to actors, it's about the roles they're doing. And this is really just about the process of it and years of hitting your head against the wall. From what I hear from actors who do this professionally, is it really is like that. I mean, you're going to and you're going to take on more rejection than somebody who sells cars for a living, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, I think that you have to come to a sort of philosophical place where you can understand that what you are doing as an actor, what your job is 90% of the time finding a job. You know,
wow.
It isn't acting. Acting is one small thing that you get to do. Although you do act in auditions and trying to make the, this is something in terms of the audition psych thing that you mentioned, the class that Michael teaches. I know he talks about it there, but this is during your audition, you are acting. And so to look at that not as a panicked way to have someone see you, but as a way to take that moment to do a performance is a helpful way of thinking of it.
I read one reader review about the book. And again, it's called The Working Actor, Two Backstage Columnists Share 10 Years of Advice. One of the reviews said that the book is equal parts kindness and reality. And I wonder how hard a balance that was to find.
I don't know. It's an ongoing struggle. Sometimes that we would get the same question over and over and we'd want to yell at people, you know. But remembering where I was at, remembering how scared I was, remembering how Tom Mills was so important to me to feel like there was someone who was actually taking the time to answer my question has always stuck with me. And I think that in the class that I teach here, I'm constantly struggling between how can I present to the students that really you're going to hit your head against the wall, as you said, you know, for years. That sounds so sad, you know, and how can we look at, well, here's the beautiful parts of it. So it's hard and sort of torturous and also beautiful.
Jackie Apodaca, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a theater professor at Southern Oregon University. She and partner Michael Kostroff wrote The Working Actor, Two Backstage Columnists Share 10 Years of Advice. They did, in fact, have an advice column in Backstage for 10 years. Actually, Jackie for 10 years, and Michael for a little less of that time.
Yeah.
Got questions? You can join us on the Exchange for Jackie, 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. You had already alluded to this when we talked about what Backstage was known for in the day, where you would send in your request for audition by mail, that sort of thing. So it sounds like over the time that you were doing this column, the business changed drastically.
Oh, my gosh, massively. Well, it changes very quickly, right? And the truth is that the truth is from my perspective, you know, remember, everyone's lying if they tell you what the truth is, is that there are many things that have stayed the same, many things about the structure that are consistent, but sort of the outside edges, the decoration sort of it changes year to year. And so right now, the thing that I need to learn about more about is the social media aspect that has taken over in terms of not how social media works, which I'm quite familiar with, but the idea of promoting yourself, specifically increasing your chances of booking a role because you have a certain number of followers on Instagram. And so this summer, I'm actually going to spend a lot of time in casting offices in LA to sort of re-up my knowledge of that.
Okay, yeah. I was going to say it requires a little continuing education. Michael's actually on the line, so
why don't
we visit with Michael Kostroff, who is the co-author of the book. Michael Kostroff, five seasons on the wire and a regular working actor otherwise. Thanks for joining us today.
Sure. I'm sorry I couldn't join you sooner. I'm actually on the set, and I wasn't able to get to the phone earlier, so sorry.
No problem. I wanted to ask specifically about Audition Psych 101, this course you teach, about how you get the nerves under control when so much is riding on what you do, and you know for a fact that you're being judged.
Well, you know, that's exactly what my class is all about. It's taken me years to get comfortable with auditioning, and a lot of what I teach is actually sort of counterintuitive, but field-tested in that I think it's wrong to focus on trying to get a job. That's the least likely outcome. So I really talk to people about doing the actor work and enjoying the opportunity to do a performance and calling it a day, because I live by the mantra that you're not getting the job. So it's a strange way to approach it, but it really works because it's more logical to me.
We were just talking before you got on about just how much the business has changed over the course of the time you two were writing the column for Backstage.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And the way in which people get audition notices and stuff. So, I mean, Jackie was talking about getting a re-education in that.
Well, and I'm sure Jackie has covered this already, but a lot of auditions are put on tape now. Everybody's becoming a filmmaker. We have to put our auditions on tape at home and send them in, and it's all very different.
Michael, will the book appeal to non-actors as well as actors?
You know, I don't know that it will. I think it's really an insider's. Sorry about the siren.
I was going to say your ride is here. Yeah.
Street New York.
I really think that our book is an insider's manual for people who are really entering the profession, and I'm proud of the fact that we've covered not only things like agents and casting directors, but things like finances for actors and personal relationships and, you know, ethics and all the stuff that's very, very sort of micro-specific to our profession.
And I wonder, over the years that you guys, Jackie, had put the column out, if you got some really interesting responses to the things that you wrote.
Well, we did, and we also got a lot of people saying, you're wrong, that's a stupid thing to say. And you'll see that in the book we actually included some of those responses and then our responses to the responses, because I think neither Michael or I feel, as I've said, that we're the final authority on anything, because no one really is, because it's a big maze. And so we're open to having it be a conversation. So if you disagree with us, great, tell us why.
So did there is still a backstage. Has the column continued under somebody else's?
It has not continued. Backstage has gone through a lot of changes over the last 5, 6, maybe 7 years. In that publication, like many forms of print media, has been bought and sold many times, and they've really reformed it in a lot of ways.
Michael, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay, yeah, we got a funny buzz. That's why I was asking. So before we go, I want to ask about your particular success, because you've managed to do what Jackie and I were talking about, is beating your head against the wall for years, but but gotten lots of good roles just the same. So, I mean, what do you think made the difference for you?
You know, Jackie and I share a very similar philosophy, and it applies to my career. I really don't believe in formulas. I think I've been fortunate, and I think there have been coincidences and accidents. And yes, I'm a good actor, but so are lots of people who are not working as much as I am. And I think embracing the chaos and the lack of linear, reliable patterns in our business is much more mentally healthy than thinking, if I do these certain steps, I'm going to have a career like Michael Klaustroff. You know, it's the hardest truth to accept, but it's just what Jackie was saying. There's no one answer to anything.
All right. Looks like we got a couple of calls on the line, so I'll keep this going. Yeah, we got a couple minutes more with Jackie Apodaca and Michael Klaustroff. They are the co-authors of Answers from the Working Actor. I had the title wrong before. Answers from the Working Actor. Two backstage columnists share 10 years of advice. They did, in fact, have a column in Backstage for, well, in Jackie's case, 10 years. And it's about more the business of acting and how to move through how to navigate the minefield out there, as it were. Join us on The Exchange with your questions, comments, 800-838-3760 by phone, by email. It's jx@jeffnet.org. Jackie will be signing books at the Southern Oregon University campus bookstore today from noon to 1. How, for either of you, and I guess I'll push this to Jackie. Okay, it sounds like the fire truck went by. How know when it's time to look for another line of work? I'll start with Jackie.
Oh, my goodness. So you mean how to know when you shouldn't be an actor anymore?
Yeah.
We should give that up? You know, I think it's funny. I think that we actually sort of fetishize that idea. We fetishize the idea of I'm an actor or I'm not an actor. Oh, I get to say this on the radio. This is the thing that I hate most in the world, and I get to talk about it. So a lot of acting teachers in high school and in college and private acting teachers will tell their students, if there's anything else you can do, go and do it. It's so hard to be an actor. If there's anything else you can do, go that pathway. And I think that's a horrible, ridiculous piece of advice. And the reason is that we're not being an actor is being an artist, something that somebody chooses to do. We all choose to take that path or to act and take those opportunities when they come. And you don't have to be, in quotes, an actor or not be an actor. We don't have to have this dramatic decision to quit acting and walk away. We can instead find acting jobs where we can find them and continue our lives, right? If you like acting, great. That's right.
Yeah, and Jackie and I also agree, there are lots of ways to do this.
Yes.
You know, I think people are way too dismissive of the idea of having a reliable profession and doing acting for fun on the side, or doing it seasonally, or, there are lots of ways this thing can look,
Mm-hmm. So you could do community theater, that sort of thing. I mean, you could satisfy your acting bug and do a good job still, but be able to do something else for money.
Well, I think that we fetishize that idea that you have to, quote, make your living by acting. But Michael teaches a class. I'm a professor. We're both actors. Do you know what I mean? I think there's many ways to approach what you're doing and how you put your living together. Being an actor is finding your hustle, your side hustle all the time, right? And so if you embrace that and know that that's part of your life, then I think this decision to walk away or not walk away becomes less important.
Mm-hmm. Interesting question here from Stephanie, no town given, by email. And her question is, in a business that's so focused on appearance and personal image in quotes, how can you reconcile wanting to change your appearance, i.e. getting a tattoo or dyeing your hair, when headshots cost upwards of $500 and you want to remain as neutral as possible for a casting director? What's your advice to retaining any sort of autonomy, bodily or otherwise, as an actor. That from Stephanie.
I have a feeling Jackie and I will disagree with it.
All right, so you go first, Michael.
Jackie, me? I believe that we have to be able to morph into lots of different parts, and I think it's a mistake to get a tattoo. And I do think we have to be, as morphable as possible.
All right.
So that's part of the, to me, that's part of the gig.
All right. So your headshot is showing the raw material, Jackie?
Yeah, I think we disagree. So love. Michael and I really get excited when we disagree. So about things, especially in the book, which there, you'll see a lot of perspectives. But I think that we also are presenting, the market is so saturated that we are presenting our own unique self as that's our product. And so if I have a tattoo and I dye my hair blue, I'm presenting a different thing. I'm selling a different thing. So as long as I understand that blue haired tattooed lady has a very specific job market slice and that Jackie looking this other way has a different market slice, as long as I accept that and understand that, then I think you can do what you want to do.
Are casting directors of very different ranges in their ability to see through the beard or past the tattoo or anything?
Here's the thing. I think that there's a lot of complaints about casting directors having no imagination. And casting directors, why can't they see that I'm so great and I could just wear a wig and I could wear high heels and look taller? But the truth is, because the market is so saturated, or again, the truth as I see it is that because the market is so saturated, they don't need to see through that. They don't need to have what we're thinking of as imagination to see us what we could be, because they can just book that job to the exact person who looks that way. They don't need to book me as an 80-year-old woman and put a lot of old age makeup on me. They could just book the 80-year-old woman.
Right. And that's not to say that you couldn't play it. It's just that there's somebody who really is that.
Right. Why not go for the person who's ready to go?
So just as really a few seconds left for each of you, were there moments when you just sort of your heart went out to the people who were writing to you with the column, Michael?
Oh, constantly. Constantly. I think that's what we loved about writing it, is that, we were dealing with people at various stages of their careers and able to address their various issues.
And Jackie?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. We felt, I personally felt so much connection to almost everyone who wrote in, just feeling their pathos, having been in that situation myself.
All right. So the columns, at least some of them compiled in the book, Answers from the Working Actor, two backstage columnists share 10 years of advice, available at bookstores now. And the SOU campus bookstore will feature the actual author, Jackie Apodaca, signing books this afternoon at 1. Jackie and Michael Kostroff, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.